What a song that is for my lesson this morning to you and to the congregation that meets here. No measure of time up in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. Unmeasured love for each other. It's going to be wonderful. I think how to get this lesson started, but the thing kept bugging me all week is all the trips that I've made in my lifetime from the time I was 16 until 73, still making trips. We went to St. Paul this last week. We went to Sheridan last week. We went to Scranton, Iowa last week. And every trip, when I start out, I have faith that I'm going to make that trip successfully. And I think when we start out our walk for God, we need that faith to remember God, that He's going to be there to help us through those times. The thing I'd ask this morning is, do you still believe God even when you can't believe what just happened? Something that is unbelievable. Can you believe God had a part in that? When something really awful occurs, you may use the word unbelievable to describe that thing. During these times, even if what happened may have shaken our life, it is very important to maintain faith in God. God is never changing. God is a solid rock. We can depend on God, and we cannot depend on our outer surroundings in life. That's the purpose of faith in Hebrews 11:1, which is where most of my thoughts will come from this morning. 11:1 describes faith as being sure of what we have for. Describes faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's difficult, isn't it? If we can't see that thing, to have that faith. But that's what God wants us to do. 11:1, that's the way it describes it. It goes on to discuss in 11th chapter of Hebrews great men and women in the Bible who exhibit faith. When our circumstances are unbelievable, whether good or bad, these people maintain their faith. Are we able to take, when we read these stories, are these individuals able to have confidence and assurance that God is the same God that will help us have faith through the end? Do we have the assurance that God loves us? All the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 went through difficult circumstances, yet they still believed God even in the midst of their tough trials. If we think about these individuals, four of them was Abraham, Noah, Joseph, and Moses. There was countless others, but these four are, I'm sure, first and foremost and strongest in our mind in what these individuals went through. And we can truthfully say these individuals lived by their faith and had faith in God. It's also important for us to have that faith when unbelievable things happen to us in our life. I don't know how many of us have had real difficult things happen to us, but faith is very important. That's what I want to remark about this morning. Do we remember how we felt when we were younger and our birthday approached? We were anxious. We knew certainly that we would receive gifts and other special treats on that day. That day wasn't here yet, but it was coming. Some things would be a surprise, Birthdays combine assurance and anticipation. So does faith. Faith is the conviction based on the past experience that God's new and fresh surprises will surely be ours. You believe that? You believe God has things in store for you that's going to be surprises? I think we could all say yes. Two words describe our faith: confidence and certainty. These two qualities need a secure beginning and an ending point. The beginning point is believing in God's character. God is who He says He is. And the ending point is believing in God's promises. He will do what He says He will do. When we believe that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't always see those promises materialize yet, we demonstrate our faith in believing they will. Think how important faith is in my life. When things do bother me, I need to think about the hope that God has given me and the faith that He has given me the ability to have. I'd like to turn to John 20 and 24 through 31. Story of Doubting Thomas here. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nail, and put my finger into the print of that nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors beginning to shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet they have believed. We've all heard that story many times and heard what took place there. But Jesus was not hard on Thomas. Thomas still believed. He just needed proof. And Jesus understood and proved to Thomas by letting him prove his doubts. Some need to doubt before we can believe. If doubt leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and answers are accepted, then doubt has did a good work. Dropping on down to Hebrews 11 and 3. It says, Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's hard to believe, isn't it? To have faith that God just saying, Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. He spoke this world into existence. God called the universe into existence out of nothing. He declared that it was to be, and it was. Our faith in God, who had created this entire universe by His word. God's word has awesome power. When He speaks, do we listen? Do we respond to what He speaks to us about? Could be in many different ways. Pam asked me this morning what my lesson was going to be about. And she thought about calling me yesterday, and I probably should have called her, but this is going to be about faith. If you look in the back of the bulletin, she says, well, that's nice because I thought the same thing. I put faith in the bulletin. So, to me, God speaks to us in different ways. Do we believe Him? Do we do what He asks us to do? We must truly believe He is who He says He is, and truly believe that He will do what He says He will do. Dropping on down to verse 6 in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believing God exists is only the beginning. Even the demons believe that much. James 2:19-20 tells us that demons also believe and tremble. God will not settle for our mere acknowledgement of His existence. He wants a personal, dynamic relationship with Him. A life transforming relationship. Those who diligently seek Him will find that they are rewarded with the feeling of His presence in their life. You feel that presence in your life when you leave here this morning, this afternoon after our social? Do you feel like God has moved you and God is with you as you leave? Is He with you through the whole week? Do you feel His presence? Because I do, and I'm sure you do too. But we need to acknowledge Him in our walk through life. You know, sometimes we wonder about the fate of those who haven't heard of Christ and have not even had a Bible to read. What about those individuals? What's going to happen to them? They haven't even had a Bible to read. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. God has assured us that those who honestly seek Him, who act on their faith and their knowledge of the God they possess, will be rewarded. I talked several times in my lesson about a person who was a devout Catholic individual, and a son worshiped. The other individual was a person that worshiped the son. Thought you didn't need church, didn't need to do a lot of things, you just needed to believe in God. Very interesting discussions that these individuals had with each other. And finally, they just give up on each other and didn't talk about religion anymore. When we tell others about the gospel, we need to encourage them to be honest and diligent in their search for the truth. Those who hear the gospel are responsible for what we have heard. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2 says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If we have heard the word, and we believe, we have faith in this word, then we're to express that to those individuals that we encounter throughout the week, or anybody who is interested in that, trying to figure out what they need to do to please God. These Christian believers here tossed aside God's message and received the grace of God in vain. How did they do that? Perhaps they were doubting Paul's word. Maybe they were confused by false teachers who taught a different message. People heard the message of God, but did not let it affect what they said. How often does God's message reach us in vain? God is offering salvation to all people. Many people put off a decision for Christ thinking there will be a better time, but they could easily miss their opportunity altogether. Their life could be taken, or their path might lead them away from that opportunity, and they might never get back to the opportunity to accept Christ. There is no time like the present to receive God's forgiveness. Don't take a chance on that matter. It will decide your eternal destination, heaven or hell. I think we all know we want to go to heaven. And when you read about hell, it's a terrible place. And people like to think, well, you know, there won't be no hell because God is a loving God. God does not lie, and God says there is a hell. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth there, and there will be fire there. We've heard many lessons about fire and how just a little burn on the fingers, something, how much that burns. Think if you was in a fire and your whole body was burning eternally. It's hard for us to think of what that's going to be like. Dropping on down to 11, 6, and 7. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We're all very familiar with that story of Noah. Noah experienced rejection because he was different from his neighbors. None of us like rejection, do we? No matter what, we do not like to be rejected and not liked. God commanded him to build a big, huge boat in the middle of dry land, and even though God's command seemed foolish, Noah obeyed God. Noah must have seemed very strange to his neighbors. Noah's strangeness was no different or any stranger than these new beliefs here that we talked about in 1 Corinthians. Our belief and our faith makes their non-belief and their faith stand out. Our obedience makes their disobedience stand out. Dropping on down to 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham, we talked about him this morning. His life was filled with faith in our class. We talked about him. His life was filled with faith. At God's command, he left home and went to a strange land because God told him to do so. Abraham, back in Genesis 22, 1 through 19, was even willing to offer his son a sacrifice to God. Was willing to take his only son's life. That is faith beyond belief. Faith that is hard for us to understand because we don't know what we would do in that situation, but we know what Abraham did in that situation. Christian life involves hard work, and it requires us to give up whatever endangers our relationship with God, to run patiently, and to struggle against sin with the power and help of the Holy Spirit. God gives us a help. God gives us plenty of help. we are to live effectively, to do so, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We stumble when we look away from Jesus and we look at ourselves or the circumstances surrounding us, and we leave God out of that equation. We are running for Christ. We are not running for ourselves. We must always keep Him in sight. When we face hardships and discouragement, it is so easy to lose sight of the main picture. But you know that we are not alone. There is help. Many have already made it through life, enduring very difficult times, circumstances that many of us have not experienced. It's possible that we might, but if we have those examples before us, then we have that to dwell on. Suffering is a training ground for Christians' maturity. It develops our patience and makes our final victory so much sweeter. Hebrews 12 and 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What is he saying here? This verse can also be translated as, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. Christ shed his blood for all mankind. These people were facing difficult times and persecutions, but none of them had died for their faith yet, because they were all still alive. They had not resisted unto blood. They were still alive. The writer here encourages them to continue running their race, just as Christ did not give up, neither should any of them. The faith that we talk about this morning, we need to think about our faith in Christ, our faith in God, our faith in what we believe. I have a ton of faith in my ability to drive a semi-truck and do the job successfully. I need to have the faith in Jesus Christ and God to know that I can run my race successfully for Him, and that I can spread the truth to those around me in the world. That's the faith we need when we leave here today. When we walk out the door this afternoon, we don't forget about where our life is headed. It's not all about this life. It's about the eternal life. We must have that faith. We must continue running and run strong, and not weaken, realizing that God will give us that strength that we need. How is our faith doing when we look at ourselves today? Will it stand the tests that come to us, that we have to endure? We pray this morning that we can all say our faith is as strong as it has ever been, because there is so much that depends on the faith, our faith in God. That is what keeps us strong. That is what keeps our belief strong. We have all heard someone say, keep the faith. Well, we hope and pray that we are doing just that, and our lives show that our faith is reflecting that we do have faith in God, and especially faith in what we believe in. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'd like to close with these remarks. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, that if you if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you have faith that it's really that simple, that all we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess that before Him? That's what these verses say. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all we have to do. Of course, there's other things that as we read the Scriptures and take part. But if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have not confessed that before God in the church, you need to do that this morning. You need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that opportunity might not come again. The opportunity is here this morning for you to do that. We offer you that invitation. Or if you have erred from the truth or anything the church needs to help you with, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing our closing hymn.